The following podcast contains language that is not suitable for everybody.
This week on Super Skull, a mini-pisode brought to you by Moon Pies, King Conan, and Kate Lack. Welcome to Super Skull. Merry holidays to you both. My name is Nick Wybar. I work at Vault of Midnight.
Merry holidays to you all. And I'm Curtis Sullivan. I also work at Vault of Midnight.
And also with you, I am Marcus Schwimmer, and I work at Vault of Midnight.
When I said merry holidays to you both, I meant both of our listeners.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, not us.
The two of them together.
That's well, right.
You guys too, I guess.
Thanks.
Whatever.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
We're right in the thick of it. I don't know if a lot of people don't know this. Mm-hmm. The holidays are a very busy time for retail.
And stressful sometimes.
It's a little known fact that there's a lot of activity in the retail zone during the holidays.
Yep, you're right.
And we work in the retail zone.
Yes,
we do.
But we're taking a little podcast break, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Right before we go back to work.
Happy Festivus to both of you.
Thank you, Nick.
We're recording this on Festivus.
What is Festivus?
I'm so glad you asked. Do you ever watch Seinfeld?
Never.
Is that true?
I've seen one episode of Seinfeld.
That makes me sick.
Don't feel bad.
Well, I was busy working 17 jobs back in the 90s, so
oh my
I missed
God.
It.
Cry me a river. Festivus is it's the Festivus for the rest of us. It's a holiday that George Costanza's dad made up, and it involves an unadorned metal pole that you put up instead of a Christmas tree, and you have an annual airing of grievances with your loved ones.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to air my grievances.
This sounds
with
horrible.
You. There are also feats of strength that you get to celebrate.
Can I tell you, I was at a bar last year, and a group came and did this.
They had
a ball, and they were passing around airing their grievances, and they thought it was going to be funny.
Yeah.
No one was smiling.
It's not actually funny.
It's a terrible idea to actually do it in the holiday spirit. Like, one girl was just like shaking her head and left, and we were just like, this is not fun to be in this bar right now.
I think it's an important thing to do.
Do you have any grievances?
It's a joke.
Yeah.
But I think we should do it.
Do you have any grievances you'd like to air, Nick Wybar?
Not at this time. Not on the air.
You sure you don't want to say it into a microphone?
Yeah, I mean,
in the middle of December.
You're both too handsome. That's my biggest grievance.
The listeners
and it
drives
are our me crazy.
Okay. Good.
What is this? What is this podcast? What do we do here? We talk about comic books?
Every week.
Is
we read
a
bunch of comics, and then we talk about them.
Yep.
And we record ourselves.
Did we agree that we were going to spoil Star Wars for everybody this week?
I think we did.
Yeah. It's a Georgia thing.
No, we can't, actually, because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
Full disclosure, Curtis Sullivan has yet to see Star Wars, because I've been so busy working
so busy
all the time. But like Monday, I'm going to go see it, so don't say shit.
How much Fallout have you played this week, Curtis?
I've played almost none.
Really?
It's been days.
Well, you need to get your shit together.
I do.
I would get some sort of, I would get a Google Calendar account.
Go on, tell me more.
I would sign up for a Google Calendar.
Uh-huh, and then what should I do?
And manage your day.
You're absolutely right, Nick. I have nothing to say negative towards your statements, and I agree with you fully.
I'm just saying, I'd work a shift for you so you could see Star Wars. I'd work some time.
Aww.
So you could go see it.
That's the holiday spirit.
There it is. That's the spirit of, well, it's not the spirit of Festivus, but
yeah.
But cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we have a interesting take on the show this week. It's a double banger.
Mm.
As soon as we're done recording, what's funny about that, Marcus? I can't say double banger?
You can totally say double banger.
There's no, the FCC would be cool with that.
Yes.
With double banger?
Yeah. So we are going to record two podcasts today.
Yeah.
The first one is our normal mishmash of this stuff came out this week, and we're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do every single week. If you're just tuning in for the first time ever, thank you. You're probably really good looking, and please stay tuned for more. What does that mean? Why did I say that?
I don't know. I like it, though.
I'm going to clap back on it.
No, it sounds really professional. Sounds really good.
And what we're going to do immediately afterwards is record our Best of 2015 podcast.
Yep.
So stay tuned. You're going to get two Super Skulls beamed to your device this week.
That seems like 116% more Super Skull than most humans need, but we're going to do it anyways.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, this hopefully first one, got time. It's going to be lickety-split.
Yeah, so we'll, it's going to be a little bit briefer this week, hopefully. We're going to be pithy and erudite. What are you laughing at,
Now, my brain, this 5-hour energy is messing with my head. I just want to be like, you know, like Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder. This will be lickety split, but it's not good. But in my
You're
brain,
right.
It's very, very funny right now. I don't.
I think
know.
You should just when you get those, just use them. Just like just throw them out there to the world.
That's all right.
And me and Curtis will just let
judge,
you know
judge,
how it's working.
Yeah, judge appropriately.
Don't all be right. afraid of the judging.
Well, every week we pick some comics. There's just so much stuff that comes out every week. Think of us like a doctor.
Do that. Like an unlicensed doctor.
Exactly.
Working in the walled city.
Yeah, because you're sick because of all the new comics. Think of all these new comics as an invasive disease, and we have the cure. We're gonna pinpoint the ones that you should be paying attention to. So if you're only going to read a few comics this week, we ask that you consider the following.
We also do calf implants.
Marcus, what was the best thing you read this week?
The best thing I read this week was Wild's End, Enemy Within, and I know what you're thinking. Oh, Marcus, you're talking about Wild's End again. Yeah, I am. It's real good.
Way to head off the listener at the pass there,
yeah, well,
Tex.
You know what? No one, I shouldn't say no one. I'm not discounting the people who are actually reading this book. Very few people are reading this book.
Uh-huh.
It's a huge, huge bummer.
Why do you think that is? First of all, what's it about?
It's about an anthropomorphic England where aliens are invading, and this cast of wild crew have to go out and figure out what's going on. They're animals,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's hard for some people. Also, if this book was put out by Image Comics and not Boom, it'd be slaying it. I think there's a little publisher bias, for sure.
I wonder,
do you think?
There's a lot of product, you guys.
I think the audience for this book doesn't care about publishers.
Yeah.
I think the people that read, I'm making a broad generalization right now, but I feel like the people that read this kind of creator-minded, independent stuff, they don't really care.
I mean,
there's some folks that'll read anything that Image puts out because Image puts out, but I think most of those folks are just up for whatever, you know, is good.
Yeah. I think Boom gets the short end of the stick a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think they put out a lot of really good product, and they don't get the attention that that the Image powerhouse does at the moment.
Putting out a lot of good books.
Yep. I also think that maybe some people have a hard time with the anthropomorphic aspect of this book.
I certainly did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not excited about it before I read it.
Sure. Yeah. My brain just doesn't even. I don't know. Either way, it's a great book, and this second series, The Enemy Within, is very different from the first book.
So this is there's an alien invasion.
Yep.
And these guys they encountered it first.
They did.
What's the name of the town? Crow Church? Lower Crow Church?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that?
Yep.
And it's very, very British.
It's very British.
And it's got a War of the Worlds type thing going on. And in this second arc, we have the government's getting involved.
Yeah, the government shows up and takes these dudes for some suggestive questioning.
They quarantine the town.
Yeah.
They're worried about whatever this thing is.
Yeah.
And it's just simply wonderful. Worth checking out for sure.
What's simply wonderful about it? What do you like about it?
I think it, better than any other book I'm reading right now, allows me to escape to a place that's both familiar but exciting. The landscape that I've seen is familiar in the fact that like it reads like a classic fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this War of the Worlds invasion is happening, and that's not even the part that's like really different about it. It's just like these characters are so well fleshed out and their interactions are so believable that when they go and do things, you're just along for the ride, and it makes sense, and it's enjoyable to watch them develop and interact. And that it's just great character writing by Dan Abnett. Ian J. Calvert's art is wonderful, but I really think Abnett's writing allows you to feel like you're viewing an event and that you're there because you know these characters and you can kind of guess what they're going to do and maybe they don't follow along. But the character writing is some of the best in the business. And once you get into it, it's hard not to crave that next issue.
Yep.
So
it's a great book. I think this book is a perfect example of what we talk about a lot is follow creators around. I wasn't super excited for this book for any other reason when they announced it other than Dan Abnett and Ian J. Colbert. was like, hey, it's their next book. I'm going to read it. Their track record is great. I've read tons of excellent stuff from these guys. So, you know, maybe that's a discussion that we can have more. People can have more. Is, you know, follow the creators around. Yeah. Publishers publishers are great, and they do a job that's important, but it's the talent.
Follow the talent. I'm a little worried now that Dan Abnett's kind of getting bigger, that maybe we won't be getting more Wilds End in the
future. He's secretly been huge for years, though. And by that, I mean he has been...
He's been putting a lot of material out.
He's been working in television. He's been working in video games. He's all over the place.
They just announced that he's going to be taking over Aquaman, which is a pretty big DC title.
I'm super hyped for that.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for it. It's going to be great. But yeah, Wilds End, The Enemy Within, number 4-6. Also, I just want to touch real quick... I'm very excited. I didn't get a chance this morning, but I'm going to try to dive into Batman 66 Meets the Man from U.N.C.L.E. Mm-hmm. I don't know a ton about The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but the last time they did this, it was Batman Meets the Green Hornet.
Which was awesome.
Written by Kevin Smith.
It was great.
It was phenomenal.
Super fun.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to dive into this one as well. My dad really likes The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Jeff Parker's writing this book, Nick. Yeah.
Jeff Parker?
Yeah.
The dude that did Agents of Atlas.
That we all love so much. That's like a secret, awesome comic from Marvel Comics.
Yeah. And that guy does not have a huge body of work.
No, but his stuff's from that. Just great.
But he's really, really good.
Yeah.
More comics from him, please. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to read that book too, Marcus.
All right. So, Marcus, you had Wild's End number 4.
Yep.
And Batman Meets the Man from U.N.C.L.E. number 1.
Yeah.
So that was your pick and your thing that you're excited about, respectively.
Yes, correct.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. Merry Festivus to you for your picks.
Merry Festivus to you.
I have no grievances with your picks. Curtis?
Great.
Do you have a pick?
I do. I decided to read some comics this week. And luckily...
Thanks.
I know. Luckily for me, there's a new Conan comic this week, you dudes.
How was it?
It was excellent. It's called King Conan, number 1, Wolves Beyond the Border. So Conan, as people might know if they listen to this podcast, I love Conan.
Mm-hmm.
I love him almost as much, maybe as much as Batman.
Yeah, I feel like it's Batman, Conan, Batman, 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 Conan.
I feel like I haven't talked about a Conan comic in a long time, though. So the first comic I ever read was Conan.
Yep.
Way back in the dizzle. Savage Sword of Conan magazine, published by Curtis Comic Books.
Right, and that's, okay, now it's all coming back to me.
Mm-hmm.
So because you're a narcissist,
yes.
That's the only reason you liked Conan, and hence the only reason that you started reading any comics.
You ready for this?
Place.
I was called Jamie. My middle name is James. I was called Jamie at that time in my life. So I didn't know that Curtis Comics did Savage Sword of Conan until many, 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 many years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally looked at the publisher and was like, oh my goodness, it's my name.
Curtis Comics.
Because the logo is just CC, so you had to look in the thing to see the...
Conan's middle name is Jamie, though, isn't it?
His middle name is Curtis.
Got it.
Yeah, Conan Curtis.
The Barbarian.
I don't know what his last
name is.
The Barbarian.
I don't think he has a last name.
So Conan has a rich history. He was originally created in 1932 by a dude named Robert E. Howard.
Mm-hmm.
So Conan's been around for a really long time.
For prose originally, right?
Yes. He was in novels and short stories and little pulpy magazines and paperbacks and stuff. He's been everything. He's been a young man. He's been portrayed in all stages of his life. At this point, we find Conan as a king. He is the king of Aquilonia. A grand city. So Conan is still, he's probably in his mid-50s in this book, but he's still possessed of a great wanderlust. Conan wants to see the world. He likes to travel. He's not particularly fond of being a king. So this book opens up with Conan hanging out in a really seedy bar.
Yeah.
And he gets embroiled in some butt kicking. He's still got it. He's still the baddest dude on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into this guy who he knew from some battles way back in the day who's been carrying this cursed crown, this jeweled crown that he needs to give to Conan because he knows Conan will do what needs to be done with it.
It's a bad crown.
Bad crown.
Okay.
Yeah, it's possessed of ancient magic.
We got to throw it in a volcano. What do we got to do with it?
Conan's got to take it somewhere. We don't know where exactly.
Okay.
Cool thing is, my dude Conan, the king, he's ready for adventure. He's going to leave the kingdom and go on an adventure.
Which is what he wanted to do anyway.
He
was waiting
this
for...
This is an excuse.
Somebody was going to show up with a cursed something.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to just hang
out. This is what Conan's like. His king, like, someone's like, oh, my pigs are gone. Can you reimburse me? Conan's like,
no, I'm going to go get those pigs for you.
I'm going to go find these pigs and return them to your Stockholm.
Trust me, I have time. I have an opening in the calendar right now.
Yeah, because he uses Google Calendar.
Conan, you know Conan uses
his
Google
day
calendar.
Is meticulously mapped out.
Curtis, what is it about Conan? What is the essence of Conan that is so appealing to you?
Oh, it's great. So it's easy to portray Conan as just like this big killing machine, right? Which
right.
he is.
He is.
But he wants to see the world. He's interested in things. He has honor. And he's very intelligent. So he just wants to do stuff. Mm-hmm. My dude wants to hunt. He wants to sail. He wants to climb mountains. And, you know, he gets in a lot of battles, but he's not vicious or he's not kill crazy. He's not intent on killing people.
Despite the barbarian in his name.
Correct.
He's not going buck nutty.
No.
Necessarily.
And he's strange for his peoples. The Sumerians don't leave their rocky crags.
Mm-hmm.
They don't travel. So whenever he's seen out in the world, people are always remark like, a Sumerian here? But he's the exact opposite of all those people. He wants to see the world. Even now as a king in this first issue, he mentions the other side of the world that he hasn't seen. And he says, I will see it all before I die. You know, it's super cool. He's a traveler.
Yeah.
I love that.
So he's just a well-rounded Conan.
He is. And, you know, most characters like this, I think, in this same category are a little more tropey.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
for sure.
I don't think they have the depth of Conan. He's seen a lot. He's done a lot. He's interested. He's curious about the world. I think that's really neat.
Has there ever been a Conan the Barbarian Prince Valiant crossover?
No.
What makes you ask that?
Conan comes out in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Valiant's doing its thing.
Yeah.
Around that time, the characters are different in nature, but share some similarities as well. Prince Valiant, I mean, he's different. He's a knight. He's a noble knight.
Sure.
But he's all about the travel. He's all about seeing the new things and trying out the new things.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if at any point, they're kind of the two big classic medieval-inspired adventurers in the comic world, and I just had wondered if their paths had ever... Hmm. It seemed like a pretty interesting crossover.
Yeah, Conan doesn't do much in the way of crossovers, ever.
Just Conan and Red Sonja, right? Currently.
Sure,
yeah.
But they're from the same author.
The universe,
and exactly.
Together.
Yeah. So...
Interesting.
Yeah, I love Conan so much. I want to read a little bit of flavor text if I could, really fast.
Please do. But you got to do it in the voice that you read it in earlier. It was really good.
I don't know if I can do a voice. I'll do my best.
Okay.
So at the beginning of every Conan book, they have the same piece of flavor text.
Mm-hmm.
I read it every single time.
Okay.
I've read it 1,000 times.
It's exactly the same.
This little piece of flavor text is the same.
Hit me with it.
Oh, no shit. I didn't
every
know.
Single time.
No
every
more delay.
Conan book. Know, O prince, that between the years when the oceans drank Atlantis and the gleaming cities and the years of the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age of undreamed of when shining kingdoms lay spread across the world like blue mantles beneath the stars. Pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
But the proudest kingdom in the world was Aquilonia, reigning supreme in the dreaming west. Hither came Conan the Sumerian, black-haired, sullen-eyed, sword in hand, a thief, a reaver, a slayer, with gigantic melancholies and gigantic mirth, to tread the jeweled thrones of the earth under his sandaled feet. That's good shit.
You think he can afford some boots, Conan?
Dude's got a huge mirth.
My dog Conan wears sandals, y'all. He wants to feel the earth.
Yeah?
Here's the thing about Conan. That's what's so subtle about it. My dude Conan wants to hunt. He likes... eating meat that he's cooked at a fire in the woods.
Uh-huh.
Conan is like a wilderness dude.
Well, maybe he shouldn't be a king.
He's a hiker. He's a climber. He's not content being a king. Yeah. That's the coolest thing about King Conan.
Look, Conan's the dopest dude around. There's no question about it. I love this book. I thought it was fun. I love the tone that they set with it. They're really good at like bringing back the old-timey talk. Prince Valiant used to do this as well.
Yeah, every sentence ends with either an ellipses or an exclamation point in this whole fucking comic.
Yeah.
You dare attack me.
Yeah.
Exclamation point. Yeah, it's great. If you're looking for an adventure book that's kind of pulpy in nature, Conan's the shit.
Yeah, and this is the thing, right? They get all these nice subtleties, right? I mean, Conan doesn't want to be king.
Yep.
That's why he should be king.
That's like the platonic thing. That's what you want out of a king.
Right.
He's dragooned into it because he's the best dude for the job.
Correct.
But if he had his druthers, he'd probably be wandering around the waste.
Sailing some ships and checking stuff out.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the shit. Every other, you know, character like this, you know, would be totally down with ruling and getting into the courtly stuff. He hates that.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, so this age that we find ourselves in, the Hyborian Age, is the age of Conan.
What does that mean?
Well, so this is Earth, but there was this. There's all these ages of the Earth in Robert E. Howard's mythology. So Atlantis was a real place, and all these other great kingdoms were real.
That's actually true, but
it's true.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's not comic book fiction, but keep going.
Sure. Well, like it's a little more mythical, a little more. Atlantis in of myth.
Got it.
But the Conan is a descendant of the Atlanteans.
Mm.
So, yeah. And all these kingdoms fell, and now there's this new age. And it's sort of like ancient Egypt and stuff, where many things have been lost. So there's little bits and pieces of this whole giant world that existed that's now gone. I love that stuff.
I enjoy that magic is not Conan's jam. By any means. I really dig that.
He's got no time for it.
Usually that's the progression of the fantasy hero, is that they go and do great things, and then they get the reward of the item, and then that item makes them more powerful so that they can go do the next thing and get the item that makes them more powerful.
He's not into that.
He's not into that at all. Magic is something used by cowards to gain the advantage. And that's different, and it's fun. It's really quite excellent.
Yeah, and it gives no shits. The amount of wizards that have just, you know, talked the speech of like, I will conjure blah 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 and this and that, and he just cleaves their arm off.
Yeah, you're gonna get cleaved.
Yeah, Conan is not scared of your magic and also has no time for it.
Yeah.
So this is a great spot to jump in. King Conan number one. It's gonna be a short story, 4 issues. Don't be afraid to ever try any issue of Conan ever. Doesn't matter.
I submit that there are better places to jump in than this. I think everybody should read Conan.
Yeah.
They throw a lot at you in this issue. There's a lot of names and places and
sure.
Dark Horse's run. That's where Curtis. You made me start off.
The Brian Wood.
The Brian Wood. Dark Horse stuff was a great place to jump in. Born on the Battlefield, I believe, is the first one.
So that stuff's going back. That's Kurt Busiek.
Born on the Battlefield.
Okay.
Yeah, which is the best stuff.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's really good.
They always have great writers. Tim Truman's doing it now, who's a longtime comic writer. He's written Conan for years. He's got a bunch of other Wild West stuff that he's done. Tomas Gorriello is the artist. The art's beautiful.
On this one.
On this one, on King Conan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's King Conan, Wolves Beyond the Border, Part 1 is the full title of this book.
Correct.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good pick.
That was my Conan pick. It's fun to talk about Conan. And some other things I'm super excited to read. Nameless is finally back out from Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
This is a super scary elder god demon madness space thing.
I think Grant Morrison
great.
Might be an elder god.
He might be.
Walking among us.
Yeah, this book has been like months in the waiting. Super psyched
this
for a new Nameless.
Issue.
Mm-hmm.
Has been?
Yeah. It's been like 4 or 5 months since the last issue of Nameless.
Excellent.
Check it out. It's more Grant Morrison. That's my peaks.
Very good. King Conan, Wolves Beyond the Border number one. That's the peak.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you got for us this week?
I got a pile of tissue paper.
Yeah, oh, what's up with that? You got a little nose?
Toilet paper.
Runny nose?
I got a little bit of a leak because of my delicate constitution. So I'm sorry if I'm grossing you guys out with my toilet paper the table here.
You got that? Not everyone can have straight 16s. That's a D&D reference that no one would get.
You want to explain it to everybody?
When you say that you have a low constitution, 10 is average in D&D.
Uh-huh.
Like the common man has 10s across the board.
Yes.
16 is considered a very reasonable number. It's a good number to have, and it's the number that a lot of new players try to reach because it gives you a certain bonus to your character.
Oh.
So when I say that not everyone can be straight 16s, the joke is that when people cheat their rolls...
They go to 16?
They go to 16. So you'll see someone like, oh, well, I have 16 strength and 16 intelligence and 17 wisdom. And so you're like, yeah, you fucking cheater. We get it. You cheated on your dice rolls.
So not be suspicious, they're like, I only got a B+
right.
across the board, but they're bullshitting.
Yeah, they're bullshitting. So that's what a straight 16 is. It's when someone's cheating on their rolls and everything will be within a point of 16 to make it so you can round it out.
Thanks for clearing that joke up.
Yeah, a little D&D knowledge. If anyone ever brings you a character sheet that's all 16s, you know they're full of shit.
This is the kind of service that we provide.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things that we're trying to help you look out for in your daily life.
Look here, unnamed cheater of my high school group that I ran.
Yeah.
I know you're out there. You probably don't listen, but I want you to know.
Name him. Call him out.
It was a her.
Even better.
Jesse.
Oh, you said her last name.
Oh, I can't say her last name.
That was excessive.
God damn it.
Wow.
Straight 16. Straight 16s all the time.
Curtis is just shaking his head.
I don't know what's happening.
I had a pick this week, too. I can't believe you said her last name, you dipshit. Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat number one from Kate Leth.
Oh, yeah, Kate Leth.
Curtis, who's Kate Leth?
She's written some comic books that I'm forgetting because you put me on the spot. We like her. She does Adventure Time.
Among other things, what else she do?
She worked on, I guess we just found out, one of your favorite podcasts, Nick.
She's contributed to Welcome to Night Vale, which I didn't know.
That's crazy.
Which is really cool.
That's
she's Power Up. She worked on the Lock and Key one-shot Guide to the Known Keys.
Oh, cool.
She does Kate or Die, which is a webcomic.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Scissorhands.
Lumberjanes. What else?
A ton of stuff.
Yeah, man.
She worked on Fraggle Rock. She's hilarious.
She's the cover artist on some Midas Flesh issues, too.
Yeah.
Dope. That was a cool book from Ryan North. Okay. Kate Leth. She's cool.
Yeah, she's cool. And it's really neat to see her on a Marvel title.
I know.
This is like the weird time that we live in that we talk about sometimes.
Yep.
Where Kate Leth is doing a superhero book.
Where you get all these really, it's like whoever's paying attention at Marvel is like looking like, who's doing awesome stuff?
Wait, who's really talented and already really popular?
Yeah.
Wait. Could we hire her?
Could they work here and do comics?
Yeah. Brilliant.
I know.
So Patsy Walker Hellcat is the story of Hellcat. So Hellcat is in this current iteration of the Marvel Universe. She's been like She-Hulk's assistant.
Yes.
She-Hulk's a lawyer. She has her own law firm.
Correct.
And in that really excellent Charles Soule She-Hulk run that we talked a lot about when it was coming out. It was fantastic when it was coming out. Patsy Walker was like her investigator.
Yes.
She would like go out and help pick up details for the case.
Yeah, kind of like her PI.
Yeah, exactly. So this opens on Hellcat getting fired from that law agency because her services are no longer needed.
Well, you know, Jennifer, she's downsizing a little bit.
Yep.
Jennifer Walters, that is.
Yes, She-Hulk.
You know, she doesn't have a lot of cases. She doesn't have a lot of revenue. She's got to let some employees go.
Yes. So this is Hellcat doing the superhero thing that she kind of does sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not her main gig. And also doing that thing that is happening in a lot of Marvel books, which is I live in New York.
Yep.
I need a roommate and I don't have enough money.
Yeah, it's starting to be a thing.
I mean, you know, I called it and recognized it as a thing months ago and you two doubted me, but it's a thing.
Oh, I definitely didn't doubt you.
Is it starting to become too much of a thing?
If they continue to be good, I don't care, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's good.
It's a little bit of a trope.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Marvel characters that just trying to make it in the big city.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think we'll look back on this time as like, oh man, remember that time when everybody was
broke
from Friends?
Yeah.
Well, basically.
You know, and the flip side is right, as we get more realistic with our heroes, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like all these movies and everything, they got to be realistic. You know, nobody would wear that crazy costume. It's got to be like Kevlar weave because it's realistic. You know, you definitely get into, you know, you maybe want to talk about people, you know, paying their rent.
Yep.
And not too much, but, you know, they live on Earth.
Yeah.
So it's a thing that I think is kind of developing across the board.
And it's not the worst thing. I've said this before. It's totally cool. I think that, especially because these are the B-list heroes,
right,
in terms of it's not your Iron Man's or your Captain America's, who I assume is, you know, has a pension.
Sure.
Probably.
Sure. Right.
Like, he's probably taken care of.
There's
by
an Avengers fund.
Anonymous donors. He's not hurting for money.
You hope not, anyways.
But Patsy Walker is, you know, she's just out there in this mean city.
Yeah, she's like 27.
She's just out there trying to hustle and make it work. So Patsy is starting a new a temp agency for superheroes. What about the folks that there's all these new people out in the world that have superpowers?
Uh-huh.
If you're clued into the Marvel Universe, if you're not, it's not that big a deal except to say that all these people now have superpowers that didn't used to have them. And what are they going to do? Maybe they don't want to fight crime.
And maybe they're not equipped at all to do that.
Maybe that's kind of the premise of this first issue, is that like maybe you have these powers, but you just need to make a buck. And this, she's setting up a temp agency she can't call it Heroes for Hire obvious reasons.
For legal reasons.
So she names it Super Temp, the Patsy Walker agency for heroes and other cool friends what are in need of work.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's really interesting is like, you know, if you have super strength, maybe you're not fighting crime. Maybe you're just like moving stuff at a dock. Because you're really good at that because you have this super strength.
And maybe you can be an asset.
And you can be an asset and get paid and people can value you. And that's, you know, that's a super interesting question.
I just thought about it. What superpower would we hire for at the comic shop?
Tolerance.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, that just rolled right off. That was the holidays talking, I think.
Super tolerance.
Super patience.
Patience and tolerance.
I have an acute sense of inclusivity and tolerance.
My blood pressure is always low.
Because you can, the super strength would not be that much of an asset.
No.
A photo memory.
Oh,
photographic
that
memory
would
really be handy.
That would be great.
Super, maybe some speed.
Yeah, super speed. So you could just like vacuum every inch of the store lickety split.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Some days I think invisibility.
Yeah.
It's not actually super practical.
Wow. It's so sad on this podcast right now.
Christmas be over. But it is an interesting question that they're bringing up is like, you know, if you have telepathy, do you have to fight crime with that? Is there other things you could do to make a living using your superpower?
Well, that's the thing. Do you have to be a villain or do you have to be a superhero? Or maybe you just want to be a dude in the world.
Right.
Yeah, maybe just really love, gardening or something, like whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe you start a community garden.
That's right.
Like, if you have super speed, you can probably make some really good money. If you, like, have super speed.
As a courier.
Or as an accountant. You know, like, if you have a degree in accounting and now you have the superpower of super speed, well, you can get a lot more done pretty quickly.
Can
and someone's
can
probably.
You think fast, too? You can just
the Flash does it all the time.
That's true. We can't all be the Flash, I guess.
It's true, but there's like your opportunity to make a crap ton of money is just skyrocketed.
Well, and that's the fun stuff about this, right? When you start combining whatever super ability with all these human kind of characteristics, right? Ambition even, you know, or just even intelligence or you know, what do you want to do? Some people, you know, shoot for the moon. Other people aren't interested in that. So I think that's super cool.
I think Steve Rogers would make a great personal trainer. He'd be motivating, yet supportive.
I think you're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of this book is that Patsy Walker, this is a character that's been around for a really long time.
Yes.
And there's this meta kind of twist on it where there is books being published about her life as a kid. So the character Patsy Walker, her mom wrote romance novels and comic books about her life. As a child.
Yes.
Within the fiction of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Patsy Walker walks into a bookstore and sees that these books have come back into print and that she's broke and not seeing none of that money.
None of that nostalgia money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the other kind of B-side story that's going on in the background here.
Super fun.
Hey, it was a lot of fun. It's scratching the same itch as a lot of these other kind of, you know, your Squirrel Girls, your Howard the Ducks. It's very light. The fate of the universe is not hanging in the balance. But it's really funny and really well done, and it's still got just a little bit of superhero twist.
I thought it was smart, and it does that thing that Squirrel Girl does so well, where it's definitely, I guess you'd call it a comedy comic, right? It's funny, but it doesn't go too far that way. It still feels like a real story.
It's
in
definitely
a comic
comedy.
Book.
Definitely a comedy. But it's got some teeth to it. I really like it, and it's got more She-Hulk in it, and that's really what I want in this world.
There's two She-Hulk scenes in this book that I think we all agreed on that were like show-stoppingly good.
She's the best.
Super funny.
So
and cool.
Bummed out that She-Hulk doesn't have her own comic anymore. It's good.
She'll come back. Well, she's the leader of A-Force.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
She's pretty good in A-Force too.
She does have her own comic.
Yeah,
it's just not it's not the She-Hulk comic,
right?
That I
she's
fell
just
in love with
the main
year.
Character of A-Force,
right? So that's Patsy Walker, aka Hellcat, number one from Kate Leth and Brittany Williams.
Super good.
It's a lady team.
I don't know Brittany Williams, but she does that perfect manga thing where there's just the right amount of chibi at the perfect moment.
Explain that. Unpack that.
Chibi means, you know, like super deformed. Small. Take that character and make him small, so but with a big head.
So to like heighten a moment where she's feeling particularly goofy or small or whatever,
or big or angry or sad, or
then yeah. The art will reflect that, even though it's not congruent with the rest of the art in
correct.
The scene. Like she'll just be like a tiny little baby crying,
yes,
right.
just to like like drive home the fact that at that moment that's how she feels.
Yes,
which is a total manga thing, and they do it really, really well.
They kill it.
This.
Yep.
Eventually, as the... Never mind.
What do you got?
No. Nope.
You got something weird you're going to say?
I was just thinking, like, eventually, as the world becomes more...
Talk to us about the world today.
No. I'm not talking about the world today. Just, like, as our cultures merge together more and more...
What cultures?
All of them. I mean, the world is a more connected place than it's... Never mind. I'm done. Don't worry.
Keep going.
I'm good. I just wonder if these tropes, these, like... Different countries have different tropes with their graphic novel styles. And as we become more connected,
are those
tropes going to go away as we just become one
yeah.
kind of style of graphic novel? That would be a shame. Because like French comics do it as well.
Oh, I don't think it would be a shame. I think it would be excellent. I think it would be really cool to see all of these different
yeah.
interconnected. So we were talking about the comic book Planets a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And one of our listeners, Bruce, sent me this thing about... The way that manga panels are laid out versus the way that American panels are laid out.
Okay.
It's and I'm forgetting the terminology, but Scott McCloud talks about this a lot. So
okay.
it's moment to moment perspective versus so it's action oriented or else it's kind of theme oriented.
Sure.
And Japanese comics tend to be here is the emotion that you're supposed to be feeling right now in this panel. And let's take you to the next one, which is a new theme for how what we need to kind of evoke. Whereas American comics really go like, I'm standing here, I'm punching, here's the reaction to the punch. We go action to action, right?
I see.
So I was talking about pacing and why Planets, you know, why I felt like the pacing was different, and because it's a little bit more action to action, which is just what I'm used to from an American comic.
Sure.
So this is my long-winded way of saying that I think it's really cool that all of these different styles are bleeding into each other.
No, yeah, for sure. I think it's awesome. I'm starting to see, like, we've seen a big jump in French comics this year, especially mm-hmm. by, like, Magnetic Press.
Yeah.
And French comics will really hone in on a moment, maybe better than others. And I'm seeing that bleed over in some of the more artistic comics. And I love it. I think it's great.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, mix it all together. We can all learn and become better people.
Exactly, especially when it turns into like a brand new thing that it could not have been.
Agreed.
So that was my thought.
That was a good thought.
Thanks.
I thought you were going completely off the rails, but you brought it back home with a really good point. Talking about the world today.
So that was your big pick.
That was my big pick. Hellcat number one. Conan's big pick was King Curtis.
Thank you.
Let's try that again. Curtis's big pick was King Conan. Wolves Beyond the Border, number one. Marcus's big pick was Something I Don't Remember.
Wild's End, number four.
Wild's End, number four.
King Curtis.
Those were our big picks. We're not going to do our deep pick or what's up your whatever.
We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that or name that section that. Instead, we're just going to go do a quick listener question.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Which has actually been sitting in our coffers for a minute. This is from Craig, who left a comment on our website, which apparently you can do.
Cool.
Did you guys know that you could do that?
No
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think more people should do that. So Craig, his comment, what we thought was interesting, this is from a episode that we did a few weeks ago. And he says, my problem with All New, All Different, which is the big new Marvel line, is not losing the old guard or characters aging. It's that they're just inserting a new person in the personality of that hero. Marvel is a business, so they can't just kill off a massive property like Hulk or Wolverine. The problem is Marvel doesn't think new characters will be enough to stand on their own merits, so they have to attach them to something already successful from the past. How many times can they just keep replacing Hulk or Wolverine with a different person filling their shoes? Taken to its eventual end, this is no better a solution than just a Band-Aid until they figure it out. Any takers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a lot on this one.
So we should give a little context, first of all,
sure.
for what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So Captain America is now old Cap.
Mm-hmm.
his person and his character and his the take on him is a lot different as a result.
Yeah, he's essentially a trainer, a mentor, a leader.
Yes.
He's not as much in the field.
And I think this was really sprung from Totally Awesome Hulk, which was one of our picks
yes.
a few weeks ago, which is a totally new dude, but he's Hulk.
Yeah, Amadeus Cho.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Marvel is doing this a lot. They're doing new spins on old characters, and we spent some time kind of talking about it.
Sure.
What do you guys think?
I mean, Marvel's putting out a lot of new characters still. So Spider-Gwen's out.
True.
Who is, I mean, in Silk, and yes, they're both Spider-Folk, you know, but they are their own brand new characters. Squirrel Girl's getting her own run, and while she's been around in the mythos, she's never really had the limelight that she's got now. Mm-hmm. So they're doing both. It's not that they're just reusing. I think the other part is that us as readers in the past are not very accepting of new superheroes and new
Well, that's
characters.
Kind of this dude's point.
Yeah.
I'm not as mad about it as Craig is, but his point is that, you know, it's a business, so you got to get that Hulk money, however you can get it. Because new characters come out, and they just don't do as well.
They definitely do. So DC, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
put out Talon, a
yes.
new superhero that spawned from the Court of Owls, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo run.
Yeah, hugely successful run, critically acclaimed, sold really well.
Yeah.
You'd think that this is a no-brainer.
That it would stick around. Yeah, so they bring around Talon, and it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine series.
Yeah, and it lasts for a while, and it sells okay, but...
But mm-hmm. I think they were trying to spawn a new character out of that, and it just didn't work. Green Lantern has gone through a couple new Green Lanterns that have popped in here and there, and it just hasn't stuck. And so I think it's hard. I think it's hard to launch a new compelling superhero that's fresh. And even Spider-Gwen, you know, is rooted. The reason Spider-Gwen works is because a lot of people like Gwen Stacy from what they've read previously.
That's a good point. It's not really, you know, it is actually a very old character.
Right. That a lot of people have a connection with.
Yeah. What do you think, Curtis?
So, Spider-Gwen's a great example because why did that stick?
Right.
You know, it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of cool stuff that comes and doesn't endure. You know, I think Marvel, I love what they're doing right now. And I don't have any problem personally with somebody being Captain America or the Hulk or Thor.
Me neither.
I think it's great. These characters have bank. They're recognized by fans. I think Marvel it's a juggling act. I think they're handling it super well.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's not just a new skin. You know, or the old skin on a new character. I mean, the new Wolverine, X-23, is radically different than Wolverine. It's not written like Wolverine. It's same with Cap, same with Thor. I think they're different, unique characters. They share the namesake
mm-hmm.
and maybe some costumed similarities. But, you know, they're doing their own thing. I think Marvel's absolutely on top of their game. And they're a business.
Yep.
So they're threading this. I think they're threading the needle beautifully. You know, this is hard to do. And a lot of old-timers, you know, have trouble. Not to say that our questioner is saying this, but, you know, they know they're Thor. And if Thor changes, they're out.
Yeah, if that is the complaint, I have no sympathy with that complaint.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That it's different than what I'm used to, mm-hmm. so I don't like it.
Yep.
You can get the heck out of Dodge,
so
as far as I'm concerned.
I will say this. I can't speak for all comic shops. But the numbers do kind of play out that Marvel's making the right move.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board, their books are selling better than anybody else's.
Yes.
And there's lots of reasons for that we've talked about previously. You know, retailers, you know, order a lot of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
That said, in our store, our Thor numbers are up, 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 up.
Mm-hmm.
Our Spider books, our Spider Gwens, our Silks, all those books are doing great. Totally Awesome Hulk did great. All New Wolverine, killing it.
Yeah.
And,
So if it's a Band-Aid, I don't know what they're trying to patch up, because I don't see it as a problem or a wound that needs healing. This thing that we're talking about here, I see it. I don't think the solution is it's so chock full of characters.
Yeah,
the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of room to bring people. You know, Patsy Walker, Hellcat is just a perfect example.
Absolutely.
This is a character that's not on my radar at all, and I read it this week and absolutely loved
it. Well, it's a romance comic from,
Yeah.
You know, the 60s.
Yeah.
Now that's back in a really cool, interesting way.
Absolutely. So that being said, I'm into the idea of like sure, invent new characters and let writers make new characters.
Yep.
But then we as readers, you got that's up to us from there, because if we don't read them, they're not going to keep making them.
Yeah, I think just like looking at some of the trends, what seems to work is introducing a character, letting the readers get to know them, and then bringing them into the superhero seat.
Yeah.
So like Dick Grayson is the perfect example of this. Spider-Gwen is the perfect example of this. But when you just drop out a new character, there's so much in the market, and we there's so much that we're familiar with that I think they have a hard time going yeah. for it.
Well,
so.
And Marvel, I think, to their credit and to their editorial's credit, they realize that the market that has as it's existed is tiny.
Sure.
And I gotta say, I mean, if I'm those guys, this is the way to go.
Right.
That Patsy Walker gets new readers into the store. It changes the game. You know, mixing it up, broadening your appeal. I say circling the wagons is definitely not the way to go, and doubling down on kind of the old style.
And I wouldn't, it wouldn't break my heart if some of these dudes took a break for a while. Like, so I don't think we always need to have a Wolverine book all of the time.
Right.
I think you can let that character chill out for a year.
Yep.
Like the way that happens with Fantastic Four for other reasons.
Sure.
You know, because it got canceled or because nobody's writing it or whatever. You know, if there was not a Captain America book for a while and then it came back.
With some fanfare, with some great creators, with a great story.
Exactly.
It's like, an event. It's
That would be. But, and I think that's what Craig's saying, is that like because there always has to be a Captain America and there always has to be a Hulk, that can lead you to some weirdness sometimes, because we just got to have a Captain America book that's coming out no matter what. Whether it's good or not, we have to put it out every
sure.
month. And that can lead to problems. Right now, I don't think it is. Right now, we're good stuff's coming out of it.
Yep.
But I thought it was an interesting question. It's something that we talk about a lot.
It super is, and we have customers that bring it up constantly.
Yes.
You know, because it is. You can see the change at Marvel. It's across the board on every book.
Yes.
And for my money, it's all awesome. But it can be a little bit jarring, you know, so... It's different.
Yes.
All new, all different Marvel actually is pretty different.
It actually is this time.
You know?
Yeah.
Despite a lot of similar names, you know?
Yeah.
This, you know, we've seen these names before, but I think we're in uncharted territory as comics tries to be a bookstore. It tries to be a place where all the humans can go.
Yeah.
You know? And I think Marvel's right there killing
Marvel
it.
Marvel definitely, they seem to get it.
Yeah. So.
Just in time.
It's a great question. Yeah, we talk about it constantly.
Yeah, and it's also kind of intimidating for new readers, because you're jumping into this thing and you have no idea what. You know, I want to read Hulk. What's totally awesome Hulk? I know that there's decades of Hulk, mm-hmm. and is this? Can I read this? Will it make any sense at all? Whereas if it's a new character, then you don't have that kind of the pathos surrounding it. You know,
yeah.
Pathos.
But a lot of those names, you know, that's what bring people into store. You know, you're 8 years old, you see Hulk somewhere.
Yeah.
What's Hulk?
You exactly. know?
And it's cool. And a lot of these characters have endured for 75 years because they are crazy iconic.
Right.
You know, they capture the imagination. That's why they're still around.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I guess, and that's what I'm thinking about right now, is like, are we missing out on the new iconic character because it's too risky money-wise to put out a new character? Is there somebody at Marvel? Is there something waiting in the wings at Marvel that in somebody's brain that just wants to be born, but that writer has to do, you know, new Captain America or whatever?
Right.
You can think about this in any industry. Movies
Absolutely.
Are sequels all day long, right?
Absolutely.
New IP and video games is like the holy grail if you can do it.
Yep.
But you're putting your company's ass on the line
every
with
single
new
time.
Intellectual property.
Right.
You know, and we know this, and the numbers bear it out over years and years. So what does it mean? I don't know. I like new IP.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it when it's good.
Well,
so,
we are...
We'll see.
We can go on and on about this.
We sure could.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting.
Rich vein. But thank you, Craig. We accept questions all over the place. You can hit us up on Twitter, at SuperSkullShow. You can leave a comment on our website, apparently. You can send us an email, superskull@vaultofmidnight.com. Hit us up. Give us some questions. We'll answer them. With gusto.
We will.
With gusto.
We'll get up in there.
That's going to wrap it up for us today in our mini podcast as we get ready to do the best of 2015. It's the holidays right now.
Yeah.
And we're reaching the end of a year of podcasts, and I just want to say I love both of you dudes so much.
Oh,
I love
man.
Making this podcast with you.
It Ditto. Is, you know, it's a lot of work, and sometimes we're a little groggy. I'm particularly groggy today,
yes.
But I wouldn't trade this for the world. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's so much fun talking about comics with you dudes. And folks like Craig sending in questions, get our brains
yeah.
thinking.
Thank you, the listener, for just for paying attention at all mm-hmm. and checking this out. And it means so much to us that anybody listens.
And I think I speak for all of us when I say some of the best moments of our days is when listeners come in and talk to us about the podcast and be a part of the community that we're trying to build here. It makes just the days so cool when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm into it. Yeah. Thanks for giving a shit. We say it all the time in the store.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's weird and gratifying when people actually, you know, give a shit.
Yeah.
About us talking
and
about
if,
comic
and
books.
And if you're just listening and don't give a shit, thanks for doing that too.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. and that's going to do it for us today. Our producer and editor is Rachel Polk. Our music was created by A-Bomb. All of our art and design was created by Philip Wong. Special thanks to the Ann Arbor District Library for the use of their podcast studio.
Oh, the Freedom Shrine, you mean?
That's correct. I don't know if it's actually called that.
Also, please subscribe to Super Skull on iTunes and leave us a review. It helps out a lot. People can find us if you give us reviews.
You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is Super Skull Show. Also, please make sure to go to our website and leave us some love there at SuperSkullShow.com.
Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff and podcasts since 1996. My name is Nick Weibar.
I am Marcus Schwimmer.
And I am Curtis Sullivan.
And we wish you good reading. Until next week.
Conan.
Yeah. There was something in the air that night. I don't. What's the next line? Conando.
Did you just? Did you? Is that?
I think Conan would be a fine dancer. As a swordsman, I imagine that the skill is transferable.
Here's the thing about Conan. He's great. He's the best at almost everything, and everything he's not the best at,
yeah.
he's pretty fucking good at,
so
including
in
dancing.
In Nick's mind, he's a Mark Millar character, is what you're saying.
What?
Because he's good at everything. Did you not?
No, that's a bit, no. I don't appreciate that analogy.
You don't?
No.